Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to HealthyLife.net's Visionary Celebrity Series, a place where you get to call in and talk live to a world-renowned expert. Today's show is Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, a world-renowned expert on mind-body medicine and patient empowerment. So let's welcome Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Hello. I'm not normal, so that's why I'm laughing at myself. My first reaction to the introduction was to say, this is not Dr. Bernie Siegel. He's very busy today and doesn't have time. And what kind of reaction would we get? I don't know. When people know I'm not normal, they don't get troubled by that. But if you can get somebody to smile or laugh, you've done a good job. And that's something I think about every night when I go to bed, because I like sleeping and being in bed. Just the freedom of my thoughts and my decisions and everything else. So keep that in mind when you live your life. It's your life, not somebody else's. And don't live it to please others, because then you're going to hurt yourself. I see this so often. And sometimes it's really interesting that somebody that you know has a serious illness, has cancer, and has been looking awful, and then suddenly they stop at your house or and come in and sit, and you keep thinking, wow, they're looking well. Wonder what's going on. And invariably, I find out they've done something different in their life. And you see it in their flesh. It just shines out at you that I'm alive and I'm doing well. And that's why they're not spontaneous remissions. Doctors never know about, well, I shouldn't say never, but the minority of doctors know about the lives of their patients. And I ain't kidding when I say that. I may have said this on the program before, but when you ask doctors to draw a picture of themselves working as a doctor, in other words, you give them a bunch of crayons and say, here, draw a picture of yourself working as a doctor. I had a class of medical students where only 1 out of 10 students, no, it was more than that. I think there were, it's 1 out of 90. There were 90 students and only one drew a patient in the picture. And it wasn't a doctor doing something really to the patient, just helping her get out of a wheelchair. And you got to take care of yourself and treat yourself. I'm 91. I'm proud I made it. But I'm tired too. And I know there's a time to take it easy. Well, like, you know, like I'm talking to you. There's a time I should say no when they call me and say, would you like to speak again? No, I just want to sleep. I want to take a rest. I want to exercise. You know, I want to do something. It's purely focused on my enjoying the day and the moment. Do I enjoy it when I choose to help people? Damn right. That's the greatest gift. When another human being thanks you for what you've done to make their life a little better. And I remember my dad every time I say that, because his father died of tuberculosis, leaving a big family with no funds or anything. My father says he had no idea how their, you know, family survived. But what we were talking about is, what do you do with the money? What's it for? What do you earn? He said, we are here to help other people. Now, how you help, what people you help, that's your choice. But you start doing that, boy, will you give yourself a gift. And I've seen that in my life. Yeah, I can help them when I'm a doctor, make them feel better. Or lending them some money or buying them something. And then I feel so good because I know they're now living a better life and they're thinking of me. So think of some people you want to put on the list. Who should I help today? And then go ahead and help them. You'll reward two people, yourself and the other person. I'm starting to laugh because my wife always thought I was nuts. Because I'm helping everybody. And, you know, her comment was, what are you doing? Because of the ways I would often help them. And it wasn't just, here's money. You know, I was doing something for them, giving them a ride, helping them, you know, with their illness or finding a nice doctor or even getting married. That was sometimes the most fun. And that's where I get into the drawings again, because there was one doctor who didn't know what to do with himself and who to marry and what decisions to make, and I told him, here's a crayon, draw some pictures. Boy, did we straighten him out. You know, when you drew a picture of all the women who you might marry, you could see which was the right one for him. And it was fun to do those things. But it's about life. And then also, yes, you're here to help others, but it's okay to help others in ways that you enjoy. That is a real problem. Here's how you answer yourself. Answer this question with a yes or a no. Did your parents love you? If the answer is no, 75% of you will have had a serious illness by middle age. If the answer was yes, it might have been 25% in the study of Harvard students. They were asked while at Harvard, did your parents love you? So three times as many people had suffered a serious illness in the intervening years if they weren't loved, didn't feel loved by their parents. And, you know, I keep bringing up Donald Trump. I'm amazed he's still around. Because I'm sure his parents' message to him, I've read about him in books and things, are always, we want to be proud of you. What does that mean? We want you to make a lot of money. See, not make the world a better place, but, make money. And it's sad. This is a study done at Harvard students, I'm sure. I mentioned this here. But of those who said, yes, my parents loved me, 75% of them had not suffered any major illness in the intervening years. So we could turn it around. We could say one-fourth of the ones who felt loved by their parents had suffered a significant illness. While those who said, no, my parents didn't love me, 75% had suffered a major illness. I'm alive today because of love. My mother had hyperthyroidism, was told, and very severe. I mean, she had lost an enormous amount of weight. She looked like somebody who just walked out of a concentration camp. I mean, I'm looking at old pictures of her. And her doctor said, don't become pregnant. It could kill you. Add stress to your body. But what does my grandmother say to my to her mother, or her mother say to my mother? I want to have a grandchild. And after a while, my mother gave in and became pregnant. And it was a mess. I mean, I see pictures in old family albums. Well, you really don't see pictures because my mother looked so sick, losing, you know, body mass. You know how the eyes pop out when you're hypothyroid, all that. I mean, she was a disaster. And was told by her doctor, don't become pregnant. It could kill you. But my mother wants to make her mother happy. So she became pregnant. And then they told her, you're too sick to have a cesarean section. We don't know what we're going to do with you. How are you going to get that kid out of there? And she went into labor. And they said, we'll try to reach in, get him with a forceps and pull him out, which was not easy to do because the labor was not working and I'm sitting way up in the uterus. I mean, I heard all this from my mother later. It's not because I was there. And she said, finally, they were able to grab hold of you and pull you out. And she said, they handed me a purple melon, meaning they gave me it to her aunt. They handed me a purple melon, not a child. And that was her description of this battered, you know, hemorrhagic kid. And I said to my mother, then how did I survive? By this time, I had medical background. I mean, I had never asked her about it. I don't know how all this began to come up, but there are no pictures of me in the family album. And that's why I finally realized it's because of how I looked, and they were not going to take a photograph of me. And I'll tell you in a minute how this all came up. But anyway, when I saw that, I said to my mother, how did I survive? And she said, and this is where love comes back. Oh, my mother took you, poured oil all over you, and pushed everything back where it belonged. You know, every few hours. And I knew from medical training what touch and massage mean. They raise immune function, all kinds of things, growth hormones. So get your massages and massage your kids. It makes a difference. And the reason I'm saying this and how I learned it, my wife and I used to get massages regularly because I knew the benefits. I mean, it literally raises hormones in your body to fight infections and, you know, grow muscles, and being rubbed and touched makes a hell of a difference. It changes your chemistry. And so we went to the same physical therapist, massage therapist, and one day, though, when we walked in, he said, look, I've got a problem. So busy today, I can't handle everybody. Would you mind if my wife massaged one of you? And I said, look, my wife loves your coarse, strong hands, so let your wife do me, that's okay. Now, at this stage of my life, I had already shaved my head. And so here I go with a woman's hands on my bare head. And that's how your body, I'm saying to you, your body stores the memories of your life. So when those hands touched me, my body responded to grandma again. And I went into a trance. And what did I see and feel? Grandma massaging me. It was incredible. I loved it. But when I opened my eyes, I was shocked because the room where I was being massaged was filled with people. The massage therapist, my wife, people off the street, other people who were getting massages. I said, what the hell's going on here? I'm getting a massage. And these are the exact words from the therapist. We know. But we thought you had a heart attack or a stroke. You were gone. You weren't responding to us. And I said, yes, I became an infant. And I couldn't answer you or talk to you. And, oh, in those days, let me say, and still today, I shaved my head. Back in, I think it was the 1960s. No, I mean 2060, when I shaved my head, and I'm not too clever. 1960s, sorry for getting my arithmetic mixed up, but 1960s, I shaved my head. I learned from Carl Jung's work. I didn't do it because of it, but I learned why I did it. I had no idea. Why did I go into a barber and say, shave my head, please? He didn't want to, but I talked him into it. Anyway, Jung said the reason monks shave their head is symbolic of uncovering their spirituality. And that same year, I had painted a portrait of myself called the High Priest. And it was the year I shaved my head. And, boy, did that wake me up. But anyway, how much is stored in us and who we become. So I'd say to all of you, listen to your body, listen to your dreams, your drawings. Drawings can be enormously helpful. If you have a decision to make, what job should I take, where should I live, who should I marry, which medicine is better, fine. Draw a picture. Carry crayons with you and draw a picture of yourself doing that. And it'll be easy, an easy choice. Now, sometimes we don't like the future. You know, you don't want to die, and you see a purple cloud with your name in it over your bed in the hospital. And yes, it's a spiritual color, and it's telling you, I'm going to go. But it's a healing kind of going. I don't know if I told you this story about the 8-year-old whose mother was dragging around the world trying to cure her cancer and came to me as one of the people involved. And I said to her, look, give your kid a break. You're wearing her out. You're the one who needs to run around the country. Your daughter can be home with love. And so the mother got the message and did that. And she brought me a drawing. Oh, no, she didn't bring it. It was, the child was at Yale in the hospital, and I was seeing her each day just as a visit. She wasn't my patient. And she had drawn a picture with a purple cloud over her bed and her name in it. And so I took it to the mother, and I said, look, what your daughter drew at the hospital. She's ready to go. Let her go. I said, there are 8 pretty things standing around her bed, looking like colorful candles. I don't know what that means, but numbers have meaning. But your daughter's the only one who knows. And I'd say that information and the purple cloud with her name, they're saying something about her dying. So I would spend time just loving her. Don't drag her any place anymore. And the mother took her home. 8 days later, my phone rang. Bernie. Yeah. What is it? Amber drew that picture, you remember? I said, yeah. Why? She said, Bernie, it's now 8 days, and Amber has died. But before she died, she said, Mom, your birthday is in 8 days. That's what she told me when we came home from the hospital. And I'm going to die on your birthday as a gift to you to free you from all the trouble. And, you know, I must say, yes, that touched my heart. And I was so glad that I was able to help the mother to be prepared, you know, that the death then meant something and that the mother wasn't a failure. She had really done something to make her daughter feel better. To die on her birthday. And then the mother brought me the drawing that Amber did, and I have it hanging in the hallway right outside my bedroom door. But you see, that's how you become immortal. You want to live forever? Love somebody. I don't remember the poet who said it, but it was, love is immortal and makes all things immortal, while hate dies every minute. So find what you want to do with your life, you know, how you want to give your love to the world, and do it. And when people are driving you crazy, say, I love you. Oh, I love doing that. I mean it. Because then they look at you, it's like, ugh, what are you talking about? You love me. Then they think I'm crazy, and they don't know what to do. But love is a weapon. Now, you don't want to use that term weapon, that's up to you. But it's a powerful force. And when somebody's thinking of what can they do to you, it isn't good. And you say, why do you know I love you? Boy, that's like giving them a punch in the belly. And they back away. So, but find your way of loving the world. You know, you don't have to learn how to play a violin or drive a car or cook. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what is your way of communicating with the world and loving the world? Think about that. Even how I became a doctor was sort of an accident. It's just, you know, I'll talk to you also about how I got into art, why I was an artist, and why drawing pictures, what that reveals to you. All right, we'll take a break. Everybody go out and have some liquor, and then we'll be back in a minute, and we'll start again.
Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
Love, Magic, and Mud Pies is a brand new book by Bernie Siegel, M.D. It helps you raise your kids to feel loved, be kind, and make a difference. Bernie, a husband of over 50 years, father of five children, and grandparent of eight, shares the gems of wisdom he has gathered from his practice and his own family life. Using his caring, comforting, down-to-earth style, Bernie's book answers parenting questions and gives you a wealth of quotes, anecdotes, and parenting tips, delivered with just the right dose of compassion, inspiration, and gentle humor. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, an insightful, supportive, must-have guide on every aspect of parenting. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies by Bernie Siegel, M.D. is available on Amazon.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Order it today. And don't forget to hear Bernie Siegel's show, Mind Health Matters, right here on HealthyLife.net.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hello, everybody. Now remember this, too. Everybody is wounded. But how you deal with your wound, you know, does it become a labor pain which changes you and becomes a gift? And I mean it when I say that. Because when you say to patients, how would you describe, and they don't have to be my patients, I mean, my next door neighbor, you know, how do you describe what you're going through? The word is always about their life. I don't, you know, I can't remember what I've told you before, but one lady, I was in the emergency room seeing my patient, and the nurses, you can tell I talk, said, Siegel, keep your voice down. You're disturbing, you know, the care of the patient. So I said, oh, okay. But one lady was talking to me, and I said, how would you describe your problem? I didn't know it at the time, but they were severe headaches, and they were going to admit her to the hospital with them. And she said, well, it's pressure, incredible pressure. And I said to her, well, think about what causes that pressure and then relieve it. 15 minutes later, the nurses came over to me and said, and she wasn't my patient, said to me, it's her marriage. She's going home. And I learned that it was her husband who was causing all this pressure. And she went home to relieve it. And she's not the only one. I mean, I use it for myself, too. If something, you know, I have a pain, what is it like? What does it tell me about my life? Oh, this lady the other day, you know, I brought this up talking to a group, and she said failure to whatever her problem was. I didn't know her. And but I later when I was talking to her, I said, what was your problem? She said, oh, my cancer. My body failed me. So my problem is a failure. And I heard from her later. And she went home, again, worked out what the failure in her life had been, and recovered from her cancer. And those are the things for you to look at in your life. You know, I consider myself the same as you. I get a pain. I'll ask myself, what did that feel like? And then I come up with a word, and I know what's contributing to the pain. You know, you could break your leg, and then it hurts. So it's the other things in your life that could be continuing the pain or even got you to break your leg by things you were doing that you wouldn't have done. So don't be afraid to learn from the trouble. And then it's not trouble anymore. Then it's a gift. And I mean it. When you hear people say the greatest gift was their life-threatening illness or injury or something, you know that it redirected their life and changed it, made them a person who could appreciate and enjoy life more. So don't be afraid of what's ahead of you. Use it. Use it. Use it. And if you do, I'd say you're special. Because there are a lot of people, well, you got to avoid Siegel. He asks you crazy questions. He gets you to draw pictures. He's nuts. But when something good happens or interesting happens, then people change. See, the same thing at the hospital. The staff of the hospital thought I was nuts because I had drawn a picture for Elizabeth Kubler-Ross because I went to take a workshop to get her to help me be happy as a doctor. And I show her this outdoor scene, and she starts asking me questions. Why are there eight trees? What does white mean? What does this color mean? And every time I'd give her an answer, she knew what was going on in my life and what needed to be changed. And I can tell you, it's hard to believe it and accept it when somebody tells you a certain number or a certain color or word means something, but you know damn well it does. And then you can start working on changing it. So keep drawing pictures. Get a box of crayons and draw them. And look at the numbers. Look at how the colors that you picked, you know, make you feel. I mean, when somebody in your life and you draw them black, well, what are you thinking about there? Versus some pretty color that attracts you. I find green, you know, things growing in a healthy way. I'm just intoxicated by it. And I know, you know, it's like God's way. The green and the blue are quite pretty pictures that we're here to look at and feel. And purple is red and blue mixed together. That's the spiritual, the emotional, and you might say the heavenly. So think about that and words. Words can become swords. But then they eliminate what's killing you. And what a difference that makes. And don't worry if people think you're crazy. Because if someday they listen to what you said and it straightens everything out, you'll get a lovely phone call or letter apologizing for what they used to think. And that's why I got calls from all around the globe from people, because they knew what I was talking about, how it had helped others. So they got in touch with me, and I would share with them. And that's what changed everybody at the hospital. I don't know, I may have told you this story, but in the operating room, I did a lot of children's surgery. It was my specialty. And I made a coloring book for kids, and the anesthesiologist saw how helpful it was about what the kids were thinking, feeling, etc. And so they printed out a coloring book, and when the kids came in, they'd be handed the coloring book. And what got them to do that were things like this. Anesthesiologist brought me the book one morning. He said, "Bernie, I'm worried here." I said, "What is it?" He said, "It says on this page you will meet somebody called an anesthesiologist who's wearing an outfit that looks like green pajamas. But the kid drew in purple, and that's a spiritual color. You know, and they knew that. He said, so I'm worried. I said, yeah, damn right. He could be telling us that he's going to die in the operating room. And when we looked at the last page, it had more to do with emotions, not death. The colors red and purple he had used to draw himself, one an emotional color, the other a spiritual color. And I knew he wasn't saying, I'm going to die. So we went ahead with the surgery, and he was fine. But what was interesting, I almost forgot to tell you, what impressed the anesthesiologist was, he said, Bernie, his mother has a gene for muscular dystrophy. And if he has it, that's what he's drawing, that the anesthesia, the muscle relaxants, he may have an adverse reaction and die. So that's why we looked at the last page where he wasn't in purple there. So I knew he was just telling us about his mother and not about his death. And believe me, that changes people. Because when you don't believe something, but you see it portrayed in front of you, you wake up and accept. And I find things like the artists, the poets, and patients, they're coming from a creative place often. So get into that place when you're going to have emotional issues in your life that they've come up. Not intellectual. You know, it's not about what your brain is thinking. It's let your heart make up your mind. I forgot who said that to me one day. But get into your feelings, and then you'll be doing the right thing for you. Now, could your feelings be wrong at a certain time in your life because of what everybody's telling you? Sure. Sure. That's why I would look at words and drawings and know that the people may be disoriented by the typical teachings of our societies. You know, like, what do you think? I'd say, ask yourself, how does it feel? And come up with a word that describes the feelings, and then what feelings in my life fit those words. All right. And love yourself. Okay, this is not about you made a mistake, you did the wrong thing. Love yourself. Do what feels right, okay? Not what you think you should do to impress everybody, but what feels right. And I can tell you, even my becoming a doctor, that was not something my family wanted or said, oh, we'll be proud of his son as a doctor. No, my father worked for the American Broadcasting Company. He wanted me to come and work there because he could get me a job. But that was not my thing. Art was, because I just loved pictures of things. I was not a thinker, you know, not a number, not a 2 and 2 is 4. It was more about art and colors. All right, I could keep telling you stories forever, but we'll do it next time. Love you all. Go home and do what feels right. And tell your kids also. Ask them, what makes you happy?
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning, fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
A Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What can you learn from exceptional patients? Plenty. No matter what disease you are dealing with, Dr. Bernie Siegel's book, Peace, Love, and Healing, can help you identify the hidden factors that may be stopping you from getting well. What are the hidden factors? Are you ready? Guilt and blame. Find out how guilt and blame is related to your lifestyle and illness. In Peace, Love, and Healing, Bernie, as he likes to be called, will tell you what steps you can take to heal a life and cure a disease. Peace, Love, and Healing. Get it today at fine bookstores or at Bernie's website, ecap-online.org.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hello, everybody. I have to say, it is interesting that my talents have nothing to do with music. And I can't believe that I haven't told you this on this show before, but and there's no coincidence that I began to date my wife. And I mean that. I forgot who the therapist was who said there are, maybe it was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross because I could hear her accent, Barney, there are no coincidences. See? And the statement from Jung was, the future is unconsciously prepared long in advance and therefore can be guessed by clairvoyance. So that's why the drawings, the dreams, showed you what this person's future would be, and you could, you know, predict it. And, you know, I was going to these workshops to help me be the person I wanted to be. I chose pediatric surgery because I loved working with kids. It just was something that was me meeting my needs. And then you realize you can't save lives and horrible things happen. And sometimes what you do is what causes them trouble. I've had people die because while I was operating on them, some, you know, excessive bleeding due to some abnormal anatomy in the patient. So there's a blood vessel where there shouldn't be one. And then it's pumping out blood and the person bleeds to death. And I can tell you, there isn't anything worse to feel than that you've ended somebody's life because of what you did. Yeah, I knew it wasn't a mistake. It was a genetic and congenital, you know, defect or change in the person. But still, I felt. On the other hand, you know, I did crazy things too, like yelling out loud in the operating room, it's not your time yet, come on back, when a young man, I was told by the anesthesiologist, Bernie, I'm calling the morgue, his heart stopped, I can't get it going. And I yelled out his name, Jimmy, it's not your time yet, come on back. And his heart started beating again, and he recovered. Now, what made me yell that? Who the hell knows? It It's the only time I ever yelled it in the operating room when the patient's heart stopped. But it's like I could see his mystic self over the operating table still hanging around. So I called him. And he came back. But I'd say also, don't forget, it's okay to forgive yourself. You know, we're not all going to cure everybody. So don't be afraid to ask God to come in or ask the patient to do something. And talk to the families, too. I never made excuses or hid the truth. You know, I went out to the waiting room and said to the family, he bled to death. And I described how he had this abnormal artery coming out of his liver, going to the gallbladder where it shouldn't go. I mean, he shouldn't have had a vessel. And I explained everything to them. And if they wanted to sue me, fine. You know, I didn't say, don't sue me. I didn't make any. I just told them why it happened so they would understand. And I told them how I felt. And we became family, not, you know, enemies to each other. And the fact that people paged me to talk to me, even when they weren't my patient, I began to realize was because I was willing to listen and let them talk to me. So I learned a lot of mystical and beneficial things that patients had experienced or knew about, and shared it with my patients too. And at first, yeah, every nurse and doctor in the hospital thought Siegel's crazy. But they realized the things that I was being told were helpful. And then the patients weren't afraid to talk to them too. So when you know a truth, don't be afraid to share it. I don't know how to tell you, you'll know, but it's something inside of you that you know is the right thing or the thing that will happen. You know, like if somebody said to you, should I have surgery? I don't go through a bunch of statistics. I look at them, I look at their health, what needs to be done, and then I'll talk to them the way I would talk to myself and say, I think you ought to go ahead and do that. Or if I wanted to heal myself, I'd say, no, I'm not going to rush into surgery. I'm going to see what I can do for myself first. Change my lifestyle, learn to love myself, and do that. And don't be afraid to do that. Not what we're taught in medical school, but once it happens and you're seen by others, then change occurs. It's amazing how powerful the mind is. That's why I used to love to say to the kids and even the adults after a while, when I was going to give them an injection or do something that could be, you know, could hurt, not surgery, you know, that would be in the operating room, but before surgery, if they needed certain things done to prepare them, I would, what I call, lie to them. And what is the lie about? Tell them what I'm injecting and how much good it's going to do for them. Even though it's not scientifically proven. So I would say to a patient, you know, I'm giving you this injection, it'll numb this and this and this, and you won't feel anything, and don't worry, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the nurses and anesthesiologists would look at me saying, what the hell is he talking about? But they had learned, keep your mouth shut, let him talk. And then after the surgery, you know, the patients would say, thank you, that was so helpful, what you did, what you injected. I hardly felt anything. And you were basically hypnotizing people. If they believed in you, you benefited them. Whereas if you came in and told them all the problems are going, this kind of surgery and the complications and the side effects. Yeah, they had all those too. But I always included the good things. And I know it can happen. And so my family and my patients benefited. Yeah, because I was told, my parents, my in-laws, how to live when they were ready to die, how to die. And so one of the, maybe the last story to tell you, I know I've told it before, but my father basically said these words, I need to get out of here, because he had extensive diseases due to things he contracted from his father, tuberculosis years ago, and he had cancer. And when he said, I need to get out of here, I explained to my mother, he's talking about his body, not the hospital room. So she went back in to talk to him and gave him permission. And we announced to the family we're having a big goodbye party, farewell party for Grandpa. So everybody come. He was in the hospital. And everybody came. I mean, we had dozens of people, grandchildren, everything. And my angel, George, said to me, when you get to the hospital, be sure you ask your father. Oh, God, I forgot. What is George's exact words? Oh, ask your father, how did you and your mother meet? I said, okay, I don't know, but I'll ask him when I get to the hospital. I walk in the hospital room, and I had told the kids, one of the kids, to ask him to go over to his bed. He did, and he said to him, you know, how did you meet Grandma? And my father said, after busting out laughing, I lost a coin toss and had to take him, Grandmother, out. Turns out my mother was on the beach with a bunch of sexy girls that she didn't know because she was on vacation in there. And the boys who came down the beach tossed coins to see who would get the prettiest and sexiest. And my mother wasn't at the top of the list. But when my father said, you know, the coin toss my mother lost, everybody busted out laughing, including him. And he died laughing, looking so healthy. I thought, he's not going to die now that he's heard that. They want more stories. But after that laughter, he just closed down and left peacefully. And not a person in the room was, you know, overwhelmed with grief. They felt the grief, and they knew he was gone, but there was love that was left behind. So I'm going to stop now. Love is really all you need. When you live in your heart, magic happens. Goodbye, everybody.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, M.D. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
The Book of Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel contains inspiring stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Heartwarming and heart-opening, these stories were gathered from decades of his medical practice. The stories are riveting, warm, and demonstrate what we are capable of. They show that we can achieve miracles as we confront life's difficulties. Discover the importance of how changing from the inside out opens the door for a miracle to take place, and more, in Dr. Bernie Siegel's new book, A Book of Miracles. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your favorite bookstore. Dr. Bernie Siegel's A Book of Miracles.
What can you learn from exceptional patients? Plenty. No matter what disease you are dealing with, Dr. Bernie Siegel's book, Peace, Love, and Healing, can help you identify the hidden factors that may be stopping you from getting well. What are the hidden factors? Are you ready? Guilt and blame. Find out how guilt and blame is related to your lifestyle and illness. In Peace, Love, and Healing, Bernie, as he likes to be called, will tell you what steps you can take to heal a life and cure a disease. Peace, Love, and Healing. Get it today at fine bookstores or at Bernie's website, ecap-online.org.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Before you go to bed in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, or in the morning fresh from dreams, Dr. Bernie Siegel is up ahead of you. The light is on at his writing desk. Maybe, amazingly, he's been mulling over the very same thing you've been thinking about. Introducing Words and Swords, the new series of journaling journeys with poetic thoughts by Bernie Siegel, MD. Each of Bernie's poems is paired with space for you to express your feelings and thoughts, providing you with the opportunity for healing and growth, and to laugh a little with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Order Words and Swords now at 800-723-0336. That's 800-723-0336.
Love, Magic, and Mud Pies is a brand new book by Bernie Siegel, MD. It helps you raise your kids to feel loved, be kind, and make a difference. Bernie, a husband of over 50 years, father of five children, and grandparent of eight, shares the gems of wisdom he has gathered from his practice and his own family life. Using his caring, comforting, down-to-earth style, Bernie's book answers parenting questions and gives you a wealth of quotes, anecdotes, and parenting tips, delivered with just the right dose of compassion, inspiration, and gentle humor. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, an insightful, supportive, must-have guide on every aspect of parenting. Love, Magic, and Mud Pies by Bernie Siegel, MD, is available on Amazon.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Order it today. And don't forget to hear Bernie Siegel's show, Mind Health Matters, right here on HealthyLife.net.